terms of your experiences or your encounters, you know, whether it's voluntary, involuntary, whether you are, are you accessing your mountain and administering the kingdom from there? So just to find out, you know, a little bit where you guys are at, it'd be good to see. So who wants to go first?
She can go first.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you, Rebecca. Well, I just been listening to your teachings, and I've been engaging with the practice, you know, the exercises you've been doing. And then besides that, sometimes when I'm worshiping, I just let go and see whether it takes me. Most of that is in my imagination. I'm trying to really get like more focused to go deeper and to see more. But I've been engaged in some of the stuff you've been doing, like going to the mountain and being in the gates a little bit. I don't think I've been going through all the gates yet. It's been more like the first love gate. And one of the classes you have, the Lord took me to different gates, like the gate of revelation. But it was not induced, it just happened. Sometimes when I try to do it myself, like force it, it's not working really good. So I would love to go deeper and do it all the time, but I know that you always say that we need to exercise more and more, and that's something I really need to do more exercise. So I've been doing it, you know, every day. I would like to do every day, but sometimes with work and everything around and getting busy, I cannot do it. But it's been very helpful, your teachings, to engage and to know more about the kingdom and all that. So that is what I am right now. I'm more like learning and want to know more about it and allow the Holy Spirit and the seven spirits of God, which I just began to know them. I really don't know them individual, like every single one, to teach me and to take me farther. So I just learn. So that's where I am right now, Mike.
Okay. So what about you, Rebecca?
Well, my case is a little unusual. I'm sort of new. I've only been doing this for about a month in some ways. I run a soaking prayer room, so back when Toronto started all that and the accreditation through them, so I've had a lot of encounters, but they weren't with a purpose. So the first time I tried to access my mountain and get my scroll, I saw, I had an open vision, and it was a scroll, and it opened up, and an audible voice told me, this is what he saw, and I was in a vision about Elijah with the chariot mm-hmm. and all, and I entered in. I know this sounds weird, but luckily you all have had a lot of strange experiences, so you'll understand, and I saw the whole panorama played out before me, and then I entered in, and I was running. And I felt my hand grab the material. It says he girded up his loins. I was holding the stuff and running, and it was joyful, and there was no effort, and it was wonderful. And but that wasn't my scroll, but it was a wonderful experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything. The second time, because I've been listening to your teachings and trying to follow them, I've been in the garden. I felt wind in the garden and had a wonderful experience. But the second time, I did do the experience of where first I saw some kind of demonic thing, and it opened up his mouth like it was going to swallow me, and I just sort of blew that away. Went on, saw a python. And I said, you know, the woman through the seed is going to crush your head. And so I crushed his head and went on. And I entered in and saw some steps, walked up the steps, and there was a door, and it was closed. But Jesus says that if you knock on the door, he'll open it. And so I asked Jesus to open it. And when I entered in, I don't know where I was. I saw the Lion of Judah. I saw flames. I saw the many-eyed creature, the just indescribable. I don't know where I was. As for scrolls, last night I tried again and I said, now God, I've got to have my scroll before I have this meeting. And he laughed and he says, you are my scroll. You're looking for a scroll. You're my scroll. I'm writing on your heart. You're my epistle. But I did get, he did tell me what my purpose was. He did tell me what my mandate was. As for physically seeing a scroll, no. But I did get an understanding of what I'm supposed to be doing and how I'm to achieve that. I'm not really sure yet. And that is as far as I've gotten. But, you know, it's been very interesting, and I want to do the more because I love being in his presence. And the main thing is when you're in his presence, that's to me is just everything. So I'm looking forward to having more encounters.
Okay. All right. Okay. Right, well, I think a lot of experiences, encounters, different things. You know, when you say, you know, you haven't seen your scroll, but you heard the mandate. That's really what matters. You know, don't get too caught up with trying to see. The key is, at the end of the day, is having the perception of knowing what it is that you have revelation of. And so, you know, you could see something but not understand it, so understanding is much better. And so I would encourage you to just to continue pursuing those things. A lot of these things where you don't know where you are, you have to go back there and revisit it, because when you go back and revisit it, it becomes an anchored memory that then you can use as a doorway to future experiences and encounters. You know, sometimes experiences are involuntary. You just go, you're taken, they happen to you. You've not really got an awful lot of option, if you like, with it. But what we're learning to do is to choose to engage so that we can bring the kingdom into our spheres. You know, so understanding your mandate. So there's a scroll, which is the scroll of destiny that applies to your life full stop. You know, in Psalm 139, you know, everything's written in the book of you, about you before it ever happens. That's God's desire that was agreed with you before the foundation of the world with your spirit. And as you say, that gets written onto your heart so that then your heart and spirit can come into alignment and you begin to get drawn towards those things that are on your destiny scroll. No one sees all their scroll all in one go. It would be impossible. You know, I have seen it all opened up, but I couldn't possibly take it in. It just focused in on one little thing. So the key is, okay, what's the mandate? Now, you will get different scrolls for so many different things in your life, because a scroll really is just, hey, here's an authorization to do something. And, you know, when you go and engage the river of life in heaven, when you go to the tree of life, and you... The leaves are like scrolls, and you can take those things and receive them into yourself. You know, whenever I go to use the judicial system and go to the courts, you know, I would get a scroll for specific things. So there's lots of different scrolls that are applicable in different situations that just give you authorization to do something. And you learn how to get that authorization out worked. So if you've got a mandate and you've got a scroll, you can go to the court of angels and you can get angels assigned to that scroll to go before you to prepare the way for it. Just like God had something he wanted doing with Ahab, you read it in the Old Testament, and he went into this council court and basically said, okay, we wanted to deal with Ahab, who's going? And one of the angels said, yep, me, I'll go. And so we can take a scroll into the Court of Angels, and we can get angels who say, yeah, I'm going to be associated with that particular area of ministry, or could be particular, a very specific thing. You know, sometimes a scroll can be one thing you need to go and do, and you're authorized to go and do it, and that's it. So that there's a lot of different ways of understanding what scrolls are and how they work. And to start with, you know, there needs to be the relationship which leads on to those things. And I think without the relationship, the rulership doesn't really work. And so my encouragement with everyone is start with the relationship. And the nearer you draw to God, the clearer his heart will be revealed, and the more you'd understand, and the more you get drawn to things. And so, you know, engaging in the garden of your own heart, building that, is a key, because that really is where heaven and earth overlap, and where we can live in dual realms. If we have everything we encounter in heaven actually operating within our own garden and in that area of our heart, then there's just a constant flow, and we're just flowing out of heaven and connected with heaven. Because you can, your spirit can be in heaven, but if it's not connected to what's going on here in a practical dimension, then, you know, it's not really very valid, because what's the point? If there isn't a manifestation on earth of what there is in heaven, then we're just having encounters, which can be great, but there's got to be an outworking of those encounters. Hence, you know, God is looking for those that will operate in kingdom authority and will begin to administer that kingdom authority to change and transform both earth and the atmosphere of the earth and various things. But it starts with intimacy, and we have to develop that intimacy within ourselves. And so, you know, my first encouragement with people is to, you know, make sure you open up the first love gate every day and invite his presence to meet with you, and then, hey, go wherever you feel to go. And that can be into the garden of your own heart, can be just embracing him and experiencing him within your spirit. It can be through the gates of the spirit and activating those gates. You know, there's just so many different things that you can do. You can then go back through the door that's been opened at First Love Gate and go back into heaven and connect with heaven there. And so you can go into the Garden of God, the River of Life, Tree of Life, so many different places, which is all about relationship and establishing relationship. Rulership is really where you're looking to engage the mountains, the courts, the angels, using mandates, declaring, calling things into being, using creative power, releasing angels on assignments, all those things, you know, going to the different rooms in the mountain of God, engaging with the seven spirits of God, with wisdom, and just so many different places and things that you can do. But most of those things are to do with rulership. And to rule, we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, so we learn to yield to his will, engage around the ark in the Holy of Holies, and engage the will of God there, and where that's really where things get written on our hearts as well. So there's a lot of things which can seem really, wow, there's a lot of things. But this is where you just have to focus on the main things. And the main things are being able to engage God within yourself as a house of God, and allowing your life to be a gateway of heaven on earth. And so that whole pathway of relationship is so that we can create the atmosphere of God around our lives, of the kingdom, and we begin to change those things that are around us and bring them into an alignment with what's in heaven. And that actually is a real thing. I mean, that means that we need to see our spirit growing and going through our soul and encompassing our soul and then coming out through our body and creating an atmosphere. And therefore what we do and what we say and what we think are very important towards the atmosphere we create. And that atmosphere is where we look to release the authority and the power to do the works that Jesus did, where we engage in healing, signs and wonders, miracles, where we engage in the angelic realms, where we can see the angels around us and we can engage in that spiritual realm, which is here around us here, so that the rivers of living water are flowing. You know, we're engaged with the river of life that comes out of heaven, flows through that first love gate, and mostly because people have not learned to open that gateway, it's a trickle, you know, or it's ankle deep and we're just splashing around in it. But the purpose of that river ultimately to become rivers, as it says in John 7, is that around us we would have an atmosphere of the spirit of life that would bring life to others, that would bring healing to others, that would bring conviction to others, so that when people come into our presence, they feel the glory of God, you know, and we carry that with us. So when we're in a difficult situation or we enter a room where there's negative things and there's a negative atmosphere, we change it. We don't come under it. We're not affected by it because we live as ambassadors of heaven on earth and we live under a different judicial system. You know, we are, in natural sense, ambassadors of a country. They don't live under the rules of the country that they're ambassadors to. They live under the country of their ambassadors from. Hence, an embassy of a nation in a different country. I don't know, say your nation and you have maybe the British embassy in the US. That British embassy is a piece of Britain in the US because it functions under the laws of the UK, not of the US. And the same with your British United States embassy in the UK. It lives under the laws of the US. And so where we are, we carry the laws of heaven. And wherever we are, we live under a higher judicial system so that we are not subject to the laws that operate in this world. We're bringing heaven to supersede those laws because they are higher laws. So the laws of the spirit are higher than the natural laws. So that means I can do miracles which supersede the natural laws. And we have to learn how to do those things, but we can. And so we are carrying around us literally an embassy, if you like, of heaven. And therefore, we have to flow from heaven around us. And all that stuff is basically very practical. It's engaged in this realm, but it's engaged with the spiritual realm around us. But when we engage in heaven, in the responsibility stakes, and to look at ruling, we're looking to do things there so that they can be manifested here. Now, that sometimes can be through our lives, but also we can have a sphere of rulership, which if we have seven spheres, seven mountains, then that can be within our family, it could be within our workplace, it could be within a ministry, it could be within a gift area. Can be lots of different things where God has mandated us authority to rule. And we need to make sure we rule in heaven because it has to be on earth as it is in heaven. And therefore, we're responsible for creating the as it is in heaven. So we have to learn how to function in the courts, how to operate with wisdom, how to decree, declare, call things into being, move mountains. You know, the things that Jesus said, you know, you can speak and move mountains. Well, we can do that in that realm because mountains are not necessarily physical things. They are representing of obstacles or obstructions or enemy activity or things that he's trying to hinder us. So our mountain is higher than any mountain that the enemy has if we're occupying it and if we're ruling from that place. And so some of it is you can learn those pathways, but it doesn't happen instantly. But you can learn them quicker because others have gone there and have opened the pathways up. You know, when I first engaged with some of Ian Clayton's teaching, he was saying, well, this took me 18 months or 2 years to do. I found I took his teaching by faith, applied it in my life, and I could do it in 2 weeks, which is what happens when a doorway is open. So, you know, part of what I feel called to do is to open doorways for people to go through and to engage quickly themselves, but it still takes, you know, practice, and you still have to do it. You know, every day I open my first love gate. Every day I engage with God and I look to see where is it we're going to go today. You know, I sense, I yoke myself to Him so that I'm not doing my own thing, but only what He wants me to do. And I actually do that. And so then I surrender every day as a living sacrifice. Now, when I learned how to do it, I was taking an hour to do those things because I was opening gates and I was practicing what it meant to engage my spirit with my soul and get my soul in line and engage my body outwards. And then, you know, in heaven, I was learning how to engage the different realms of heaven by presenting myself to Jesus as my high priest. And He would then begin to prepare me, but there was a lot of preparation to do so. He would show me things that I needed to deal with. And as that process went on, it became a pathway that now I can go anywhere into those places I've previously been by choice, because they are anchored very clearly within my experience. I've revisited those places, I've meditated on them, I've learned the pathway of the Spirit, just as I've learned many pathways. You know, I don't think about how I drive to work every day. I get in the car and I automatically go the right direction and end up at work. I don't even think about it. You know, I'm sort of aware of the road, but I'm really not thinking about where I have to go, what, you know, at all. And it's the same with the Spirit. Those pathways that we practice and we develop become just like that. We can engage in any one of them at any time according to what God wants us to do. You know, I go to before the ark every day, and I basically, well, I want to come into alignment with what God's will is for me today. Now, that is, of course, going to line up with my overall destiny, but actually, is there anything I need to know today? Is there anything He wants to show me today? And if there are specific things, then I go and find those specific things out. If there are general things, that's where He puts them on my heart. I recognize them during the day. And then from there I can go to my mountains and begin to dictate what He's told me and call it forth, release angels to go before me. You know, sometimes I send my angels ahead of me to prepare the way, particularly if I'm traveling or if I'm doing something. You know, I engage with them, you know, but I've learned to engage with them over a process, so I'm pretty much in tune with them often, and they also are in tune with what I'm doing. So there's a real relationship that needs to sort of develop in it all, but we have to learn. And, you know, it's like, you know, what would you like me to help you with? You know, that's bottom line. I'm here to help you. So anything you'd like me to help you with, I'm willing to be engaging in that. So just let me know if you've got questions or if you want to engage somewhere. Feel free. If you want to share something, just unmute yourself. You've got to just unmute your microphone at the top of the screen, so that just keeps the sound clear. So, yeah.
I was told that I do have a throne. I don't know how to get there. I know that there is something online about navigating the courts of heaven. I did what you said, by faith. I entered into the courts of heaven. We had a prayer request, and so I went to the courts of heaven before the righteous judge and judged. She has cancer, And it worked, but then when I was speaking and decreeing healing to her, I could tell there was like a wall. So I haven't seen her yet, but I asked for help from wisdom. I asked for help from the Holy Spirit, and I saw a helix. It was in her generational bloodlines, and so I went through that and everything, and then I was able to release healing. So like I said, I'm doing things maybe piecemeal, but it's working. I'm getting somewhere.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff, you know, because there hasn't been some specific way of pulling a lot of the things that are going on together, people just experience different things, and they pick up a little bit of teaching and they're able to do that, but it doesn't, okay, what's the overall picture that will help all this to really function? And I'm sort of working on that, trying to pull together something which will help people see the bigger picture and see the different pathways and how to engage. But God always responds to faith. So by faith, okay, I know there is a court, so yes, I can step into that. And when you're there, it can be visual, or you can just get a sense. And it doesn't really matter. You know, I think we've got to break down the barrier that says if I don't see it, then it's not real. Because that just is a lie, and that will block us engaging when we can't actually physically see something. Everything happens in our head. You know, my physical sight, my physical hearing happens within my head. It's interpreted by electrical signals in my brain, and my brain communicates to me. I know because I hear, see in my brain. So does my imagination work there. So does my spirit work there. It communicates in my brain so that I have a cognitive understanding of what it is, whether that comes through an impression or it comes through knowing something instantly. You know, whether it comes through a description, whether it comes through any of those things, they're all equally valid. We just need to tune in to that which works and practice it. And I sort of feel, you know, in things when it comes to, well, I know I've got a throne. Yeah. And so if you want to know where your throne is and how to engage it, you know, first thing, get something to hang that revelation on in the Word, because that gives you a foundation. So you can use Ephesians 1, or Ephesians 2, you know, 6, you know, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Yeah, or Colossians, where I've been raised up with him in heavenly places. So you got a scripture, you know, okay, that's the starting point. So I know that there is a place in heaven where I have access, and it's a throne, because I'm seated there. It's a throne like his throne. But that's at least a start, and then it's like, okay, I'm going to meditate on that throne, and I want to engage in that throne. So what does a throne look like? Okay, depending on what sort of kingdom it is, will depend whether it's full of gold and ornate and full of jewels, or whether it's a big wooden throne. It just depends. But the reality is not so much what it looks like, is what it's for. What is the throne for? It's to rule from. So a throne is about rulership. And what do you do from a throne? Well, you rule and you make decrees. Now, in the process of learning these things, there is a process. And although we have a throne in which we can operate in kingship, there are various steps before we're in a position to be able to do that. And so, you know, you don't, when a child is a prince and they're below the age of responsibility, even if they were to become king, they probably wouldn't be let loose on making laws, because they would probably make laws like all sweets are free. You know what I mean? It's like,
right?
Because they would be immature and wouldn't be able to make things like that, which are correct. And so there's a process. And so in Zechariah 3, it describes that process. And it talks about walking in his ways. And so that's what we learn to do here, and to be faithful to walk in his ways in this dimension, according to the revelation we have from the Word of God, and that's where we outwork. Now, there's a process in that where, to start with, we begin our Christian life, and we don't sort of start out with, hey, I'm this great king and I can do all this stuff. We start in servanthood. Hey, I'm really grateful that I've been saved and I've been forgiven, I've been washed clean, I'm a new person. Hey, that's awesome. I just want to serve God. And so the first part is we become a servant. And so the disciples, when they were with Jesus, began as servants. They served him, and they were with him as his servants, and they followed him, and they were around him. And then there's often a choice after we've been a Christian a while. Okay, am I going to commit to this? And that choice was about being a bondservant. You know, a bondservant says, hey, I have free will, but I choose not to go free. And there was the sign where they had an earring, because they were, you know, that was the sign of a bondservant. Hey, I don't want to go free. I just want to serve my master. And after that stage where we get to that, hey, Jesus is Lord of my life. You know, I make him Lord. Therefore, I'm not in charge anymore. I surrender. Then he entrusts us with things. And so we become a steward. And a steward is entrusted with the master's property, finances maybe a job, whatever. So usually we go through a process where we get given things by God to do. Ministry, maybe our gifts start to be unfelt. Maybe we get a place in church in terms of leadership, or we may get called into a healing or whatever it might be. But we need to be faithful stewards. And again, it says in the Word, those who are faithful with little, more will be entrusted to them. So as we begin to be a faithful steward, and some of that is making sure that he gets the glory, and we don't look to do things for our own motivation, so the process sorts out our hearts, so that we're not in it for ourselves, we're not looking for recognition from people, but just want to serve God. In this process, a lot of change and transformation takes place, because we learn it's not about us, it's about him. Then, when there are a lot of people in that position, you know, a lot of Christians are in that place where they have some sort of ministry, some sort of stewardship, they're doing things for God, which is great. But he wants us to go deeper than that, and that's where the friendship comes in. Because friendship requires intimacy, and it got to the point with Jesus and his disciples where he said to them, I no longer call you servants, you're friends, and I'm going to reveal things about myself to you because you're friends. I'm going to show you things that I wouldn't just have entrusted with a steward. I'm going to reveal something deeper of who I am to you as friends. And that's the place where we build this relationship pathway, where we begin to engage with him on the inside, where we develop intimacy, where we develop hearing his voice more intimately, hearing his heart and feeling. So we're building up that place where he is entrusting us with things as a friend to do things because he trusts us. And that's where a lot of people are starting to engage now with in visions and with encounters with him. It's because he's saying, hey, you're my friends. I trust you with more. I want you to pursue this now with more. But then after, you know, in the process of friendship, he then encourages us to step into the realms of heaven, into the realms of his presence there, which then is about lordship. And the first stages of ruling in the heavens and engaging the courts is as a lord. Now, a lord outworked the rulings of the king, if you like. So the king had what he wanted done, the laws of the kingdom, and he entrusts it to lords to outwork. And so in that lordship, when we get on our mountain and we have seven mountains, that's where he's entrusting us with the authority to rule those mountains. So that's where our scroll, our mandate comes in. What are the mountains? What are the areas of authority he's entrusted to us to rule? And we do that in authority under him as a lord, recognizing his kingship over our lives. And that lordship is a lot of power. You know, you have a lot of power to administer those spheres that you've been given. You have to identify what the spheres are. You need to then, you know, be invested with authority on that mountain, on your throne, on that mountain as a lord. And you know, a lot of people are now starting to engage in that. And you have, you know, a lot of symbolism out there with different mountains, and you have the seven mountains of, you know, culture and different things that I think some of the prophetic guys are releasing. But we all have seven mountains. Once we begin to function there as a lord, and we begin to know how to rule on our mountain, what to do there, how to engage the angels there, how to get strategy from the courts that we've got access there, then we begin to function. And we then get access into different things in that realm. Now that's where most people are starting to engage. But after that, once you've been faithful into that era of lordship, he will then take you to a higher level of authority in the realm of the kingdom of heaven, and you engage in kingship. And that's where you begin to get access to making your own laws and decreeing your own scrolls. Now, they're obviously all going to line up with the destiny that you've got, because they're coming out of your desires of your heart. But that gives you authority to do things differently. That's when you're actually on your mountain and you have that authority, then that's really where the seven spirits of God really start to teach you about what it is to rule, how to rule, where you start to engage wisdom, because wisdom teaches kings and teaches princes and teaches nobles how to rule with righteousness and justice. And it's all about the kingdom of righteousness and justice. And without relationship, that will never take place. But with relationship, we can be invested with authority at different levels, and we grow through the dimensions of heaven by surrendering. You know, so what I've experienced is that everything on the pathway of relationship flows from the inside out. So we're engaged with heaven, but it's flowing inside us and out. Everything you engage in heaven goes outside in. So you start in the outer courts, and you go into the holy place, and you go to the Holy of Holies, and then you can engage with the temple and the courts of God and the throne of God and the different things in the mountain of God. But it goes through yielding to those areas of lordship. So I yield to lordship to Jesus, and he begins to prepare me. And so engaging in a living sacrifice process is key, because it takes us deeper into the realms of the kingdom. Now, you do get to go to places. I mean, I can take people to places because I've been there. But they don't get to be able to get access themselves until they develop the pathway themselves. So, you know, you can't really operate fully in authority without having known how to present yourself as a living sacrifice, what it is to deal with the sense of I am crucified with Christ. I engage at the cross, I engage in covenant exchange, I learn to trade my old life for his new one, you learn the process, and once you've sort of, the process becomes your process, then he begins to release revelation to you, begins to engage you in deeper levels. And so I'm conscious that I can take people to places and open doors of things for opportunity for people to go to places, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone will be able to function there all the time. There's still a process of learning and to go through. And I think, you know, engaging in ourselves and opening all our spiritual soul gates and body gates is one process which flows the river from the inside out of us, and then living sacrifice engagement and knowing what it is to deal with the skins and the thoughts and intentions of the heart and the genetic level things, that's the process. Now, some of us will have done a lot of those things. You know, we'll have done bloodline cleansing, we'll have done seed cleansing. And as we engage that, it takes us deeper into heaven. You know, we are able to access the realms of heaven and take us deeper into those realms of heaven than we've been before. So every day I present myself as a living sacrifice, according to Romans 12, so that I can find his will and serve him and worship him today. Most of the time, I go straight into the ark and I engage with him and I engage with the four faces of God and I engage with the lion or the ox or the eagle or the man, because I've got the pathway. Now, sometimes he wants to do something, so he stops me along the way and he wants me to surrender another area of my life, or he wants me to deal with a blockage that comes up, and so I'm open for the engagement. But, you know, I practiced that pathway for a long time, you know, and, you know, I've got a whole set of teaching on it, a track called Transformation, and it's a 20-part series which goes through the whole process of how to engage each of the realms of heaven and how to engage the realms in our own life so that we can learn how to do it, you know. And, you know, if people can do it quicker than I could do it, because I just pass on the revelation that I've received and they can engage it. But there isn't a shortcut, I'm trying to say. You know, I can't lay hands on you and make you do it. You know, it's all about developing the relationship, which any relationship takes time. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes time to develop our intimacy with God, you know, to know him and to let him lead us into the places he wants us to go. It takes time, but if anyone is willing to give that time, there's nothing that's impossible, you know. But sacrifice, there's power in sacrifice, there is. And as we present ourselves as the living sacrifice, it releases power into our life to transform us, and then gives us access into the realms of heaven to administer the kingdom, you know. So, you know, I'm sort of just trying to touch base with people, really, to see where people are. And, you know, when it talks about benches of three, you know, you can't really operate in a judicial sense as a bench of three without being on your own mountain and fully functioning as a lord, because benches of three are operating in kingship, and they have a greater dimension of authority and power over an area or a region or a sphere that you get the mandate and the scroll to have as a bench of three. And so, you know, at the moment, you know, I'm just sort of trying to find out where people are at, what I need to do to try and help, so that I can eventually help people to find those spheres of authority in the kingdom and just bless them and help them release it. But the first stages are really, you know, how do I engage on my own mountain? How do I engage in my own heart? And then, you know, as that goes on, I can move forward in it. So I don't know if that sort of helps.
No, it really helps. And I wrote down your series. I mean, I'm going to do everything that I can. I'm not sure where I am, really, because a lot of these things I've been doing without doing that way, you know. from different teachings, I've learned how to decree and how to change the atmosphere in place, but a different way without actually going into heaven. And so,
yeah,
I mean, you know, a different approach, and I feel that your approach and going this way is going to help me to just open up other avenues and make it more powerful and better. So I'm not really sure where I am.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's probably true for a lot of people, because God has been releasing revelation for a long time. Mm-hmm. And he's been releasing things from heaven that have been drawing people towards those stewardship roles. So what you've been operating in is stewardship of those things and the revelation you have. Mm-hmm. But and as you've been faithful with that, he will then start to entrust you with, now you have a greater sphere of power to do that. And so, you know, a lot of us have been operating in this sphere, and we have had positive outcomes to that, and we can see fruit from it and everything else. It's just what God wants is to take us to a higher level of authority so that that can be multiplied and outworked, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. And so that, as it is in heaven, a lot of us have been doing on earth and trying to get heaven to come and do that on earth, whereas we're supposed to go to heaven, and so that becomes a manifestation of it on earth at a greater authority level and a greater power, because we get access to things we didn't get access to before, you know, in terms of the courts and the different angels, and then we can enforce laws. Whereas before, we were sort of doing it, but we were doing it under the atmosphere that was in the earth, which meant we're doing it under the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wickedness that were operating in the atmosphere of the earth. And so we tried to shift them, and we tried to move them, and tried to do things to clear the atmosphere, but most of it was ineffective. Or partially affected, because we were doing it from here, trying to engage there. But now we've been given access there, we're a higher authority above that, and we can release particularly the angels to deal with the atmosphere of the earth, so that then that atmosphere can be opened up. And then we become more effective in opening everlasting doors over the spheres of authority that we've been given. And that was... And if you can imagine the greatest revivals and moves of the Spirit that have happened, whether you think of Toronto or you think of Pensacola, or look at what's going on in Bethel or different places, or look back in some of the historical things, we're supposed to create those as everlasting doors over our spheres of influence. So we can only do that by going there and ruling above those things, so that we can bring those things through into the atmosphere of the earth, so that they manifest here on earth. So that there's a level of maturity that we're all being called to come into, you know. And that doesn't mean that any of the things we've learned were wrong. It just meant we were doing them as stewards, and now God is calling us to do them as lords in a dimension of authority which gives us access to greater resources, really, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I do have a question, Mike. You were talking earlier about the court of angels. That when the Lord gives you a scroll, you can go there and you can present it. I never hear that before, and I did have like an encounter like maybe 2 weeks ago, in which 1 or 2 weeks ago, in which I was with the Lord, and it wasn't a place I never been before, and there was waterfalls all over, all around me, and a scroll was given to me, and then I hear commission. But when you mentioned the court of angels, I was wondering if I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to take that scroll to the courts of angels and ask them for who want to be a part of that. That's what you meant.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, when you have a mandate to do something given to you by God, you want the authority and the power of heaven to be with you. And so when you get given a mandate, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've got a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So God says, I want you to do this, but how are you going to do it? And so going, there's two courts in the realm of the kingdom of God that require access to the strategy. So the court of war is where you get strategies for action that enables you to outwork your mandate. So you will get specifics and a strategy for how to do it. Then if you go to the court of angels, you're looking for angelic assignments to enable that strategy to be outworked, in particularly maybe in the atmosphere of the earth, but also going ahead of you into this realm. Because I think Abraham was sent, he has sent his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to the servant, the Lord will have sent an angel ahead of you to prepare the way. And angels prepare the way for us to connect to the right people, engage the right finances maybe sometimes, sometimes engage in a relationship which brings unity, which moves things forward quickly. That's what angels do. And so the more we are active in that process, the more we can be aware and assign them to those things. And so there are angels, there are also at another level, there are the cloud of witnesses. Some of those cloud of witnesses also associate with our scroll mandates, and they also are there to support and encourage, and they also have some wisdom that they can impart to us. So, you know, if you've got a mandate to do something that a previous mantle was given to one of the cloud of witnesses in the past that is similar or has an association to, they can give quite a lot of insight into things, usually about what not to do, about mistakes that they made, because they made a load of mistakes. And
yeah.
If we can learn from their mistakes, we don't have to go through the same process that they do, and so they can inform us. So there's various engagements that you can have that will help you to outwork your scroll practically or your mandate practically, and you just learn. You know, wisdom. You know, once I was in given a throne within the kingdom of heaven, and I was given an orb, which is that sort of round thing that you get. You know, you see the Queen of England has an orb when they make laws. Wisdom took me and showed me the protocol of establishing things in the kingdom. So I was able to go to the court of kings and the court of scribes and the court of chancellors, and it was a whole process. Now, that's when you get to operate in kingship, is lordship. You get to operate with the court of angels and the court of war and the mobile court. And when we learn those protocols, then we get access to other protocols later. So, you know, it's great when you get angels that want to participate, you know, and we just need to give them the opportunity to participate. Because our guardian angels, the ones that are with us on a daily basis, they work overtime sometimes, keeping us safe.
Yeah.
But if we don't engage with them, they don't often go on assignment to do things. I mean, it's like when I go to minister or I'm ministering in a situation, I will send one of my angels to bring me the resources for that ministry. And so they often bring weapons or crowns or jewels or mantles so that I can give them out. And I send them ahead to prepare. And then I'm sensitive. Hey, what are they bringing? How do I minister that? So there's lots of ways that the angels want to be involved, but as Ian Clayton says, most of them are just bored because we don't do anything with them. You know, Jesus had, I think, 12 legions of angels that he could call on, which is somewhere around 70,000, 80,000 angels. That's quite a few. And if we're not engaging with any of those 80,000 angels, then they're just waiting for us to interact with them and to send them out on assignment. Now, obviously, you need to know what you're sending them to do, but they're willing. You know, and that's just those 80 or 1,000 that are associated with us. You have the canopy of angels that is associated with the throne of God that also comes and comes over us when it recognizes the throne that we're on and that he's on in our life, because that represents the throne of God. And then you get the 10 canopies of angels with the 10 different orders of angels that we then can also release. So you can release the seraphim and the kashmilim and the ishim and the different ones and the ophanim and the different things, because that's what happens when you get enthroned. You get access to things that you never knew existed before. But it's, you know, it's all a learning process. And the first things to start with is engaging in your own heart and then looking to engage in the mobile court is one of the first ones to engage in, so that you deal with judicial issues about your own life. And that gives you authority then to operate. Because you usually get papers, separation papers or orders from the court that gives you authority to change things around you and in your family and in your life, which is where you sort of start. Okay.
Do you think we still have time to maybe do an activation or something? Oh, I'm sorry. I think you want to say something.
But in terms of, I didn't quite catch that, in terms of...
Like an activation, maybe, to go to Son of the Gods, or...
Yeah, sure.
The Son of the Spiritual Realm, or something.
Yeah. I can always sort of do some activations.
Mm-hmm.
I just, sometimes you just don't want to do them out of order.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not on your mountain, and you're not operating on your throne, then you haven't got anywhere to outwork what happens in the courts. And so although you might have an experience, you've got to be enthroned there first. And so, you know, and then you need engagement with your scroll in that place. So, you know, I'm sort of working on, you know, I've got lots of different exercises and different activations. I like to start with the ones that engage the pathway of relationship, so that you can access the Garden of God and the River of Life, and you can access the Tree of Life, because that is what flows into your life, and that is what gives you the foundation then to bring rulership. Because if you've not got that source of life flowing, then you haven't got the flow that comes when you engage in heaven. So, you know, that's probably the places where I would generally start. So, you know, I'm happy to sort of engage there and sort of engage with the dance floor and things like that, which is a great place to go.
I would love to, if everybody else wanted to do it too. It's up to everybody else.
Mike, am I heard yet? Can anyone hear me?
Oh, yeah. We can. Wow. We can hear you now.
I apologize, because I had to reload everything in this brand new computer, and I missed much of what was being said. And I came in right when you said you were to gauge where everyone was. And I had a couple of questions. One is, when you've experienced many sovereign taking ups and things like, whether in the body or out of the body, only God knows. Yeah. And then you're left to your own resources and faith to get there. And it's difficult. What do you do? I mean, it's one thing to go into a sanctified imagination and get the impression. And it's another thing to actually look around and, wow, I'm here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So it's real difficult in valuing some of the impressions when you've been on the Sea of Glass, you know? Some of those gentle impressions and those, it's a hard thing for me to value those, even though the Lord is showing me that they are real, but, you know, he's confirming that those gentle impressions are important. But when you know, all of a sudden everything around you changes, you place a higher value on those experiences. I mean, does that make sense? And is that correct? I mean, I'm having trouble with the accessing by faith because I've been taken sovereignly so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. What you have to learn to do is to be able to go when you need to go. Okay. And so, if you're only relying on the experiences which are involuntary and just happen, then you're not going to be able to go to your throne or go to a place that you want to go to unless you get taken there. And right. So those experiences are just, they are forerunner experiences that encourage us that these places do exist and that they are open to us. And I had all those, you know, and I can't make that happen for somebody else. You know what I mean? It's like you position yourself and you open yourself for those things, and sometimes God will do that. I honestly believe that that is not as mature a position as where you are able to step in and to engage yourself. And so you have to therefore learn how to train your senses, according to Hebrews 5:14 or 5, yeah, to train your senses to discern, you know, to by practice. And so the little impressions and the other things, they're all part of training your senses to pick up the flow that's coming from God on a daily basis, both in this dimension and in that dimension, to engage. Now, all the involuntary experiences, let's say, I journaled them all in detail, and I revisited those journals and went over the experiences over and over again. So if you have an experience and you don't do anything with it, it's use it or lose it type of thing. So I would take the experience, I wrote it down, I then would go back and meditate on that experience to learn how could I access into that experience myself rather than being taken into it. And so I would use the eyes of my heart to picture that experience again. And what I found was I was going back into the experience by activating my senses to engage in it. And so my first experiences were around certain waterfalls or rivers, and so then I would take that experience and I would think about it, first of all, because you start by thinking about fixing your eyes on it. Then you begin to open the eyes of your heart and begin to engage in it, and then you begin to enter into it. So the initial experience, you anchor that experience in your memory by going back and revisiting it, because what that says is, hey, this is a really important experience. And then my brain forms pathways to that experience because I repeat it in my thinking and meditating and reading it, whichever way you do it. Then what I found was I was starting to engage in the experience and I would begin to be there again and begin to see things. But I learned that actually I was doing it, could do it differently. So whereas, okay, it seemed like a first person, I am there, everything is really vision, because I'm in a trance, and I'm completely unaware of my surroundings because I'm in a trance, I then was actually, here I am, sat in my chair with my journal, I'm thinking about it, I close my eyes, I am still aware that I'm in my room, but I begin to enter into the experience, it firstly in my imagination, and then in my spirit, I began to know where I was, and feel it, and sense it, and perceive it. And so, that is not less, that experience isn't less valuable than the first encounter. The first encounter just became an anchor and a doorway. And I used that to develop being able to step into those places when I choose to, when I need to. You know, a lot of it isn't about just because I want to have some fun. You know, I don't go to a court. I can go to observe what's going on, but I go there when I have something I need to do. So I learn to step in when I need, according to, hey, I need to do this, I need to direct this, I need to get an angel here. I go because that is according to my mandate for the day or for my soul or whatever. But I've learned to use the other experiences, and those people who have none of those other experiences can still engage by getting a scripture. Okay, here's a throne, here's what the throne of the Lord, and I meditate on the scripture, and that opens me up to engage in the thing. So there's lots of ways of doing it, you know, and they're not right or wrong, they're just what works for us, and we need to find out what works for us. And so, you know, when I say I step in by faith, what that means is I know that that place exists, either because it says so in the Word of God, or I've been there, or someone else has actually been there and told me that it exists. So I take that, and that gives me something to activate, and then I engage my spirit. And I then sometimes see clearly. Sometimes I perceive, which is just as clearly, just in a different way. And sometimes I know, and that's what I've found. I have learned to listen to my spirit, engage with my mind and my soul to explain where it is. And so I'm there, and I can describe to you where I would be very accurately, very clearly, and in a very descriptive terms, but I'm not seeing it as a vision. My spirit communicates to me by no